to start a party, we will party hard.
The HMB Sides, exclusive content available only on podcast and hmbradio.com. This is with Jander Gray, Tampa Bay comedian. What's up, man?
Yeah, you guys didn't get enough of me, so you're listening to the sides now.
That's right. And you can curse on this one. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, darn.
Shucky darn.
Yeah, I'll get to that, but I don't want to force it.
I hear you. I'm almost at the point now
it's
where...
It's coming. Are you ready for... Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm about to say it. No.
Piss. Makes you feel better.
Poop dork.
Yeah.
Smurf smuggling beef stork.
I've gotten so good with the microphone being in front of my face that I don't even think about cursing anymore, so I do have to force it
yeah.
sometimes.
That was pretty much the primary reason that I actually set up a podcast was just that. Just that, and I wanted to give, you know... Get used to doing it.
Just
and
you could curse?
Well, no, not cursing, just talking on the mic, really. Just
That's
talking
true.
On the mic.
That's and, a good way to...
Given the opportunity to other open micers, too, to come out mm-hmm. and be on my podcast.
Did you plug your podcast
on
the broadcast version?
I think you did kind of right up out front. But
I didn't
say
the name
If people
of it,
follow
though.
My social media, they'll see it. They'll find it.
It's called World Domination Through Compromise.
World Domination Through Compromise, yep. Which I know is probably wordy, because no one can ever remember the name of it. I think you're the first person to ever get it right.
You got
to
do the hashtag with the hashtag,
yeah.
the T, wait, W, D,
T, C.
Yeah,
that's maybe that's it. What I should do, it, hashtag with that.
I find yeah. it helps, because now in this new world we live in, it's you have to be right on top
of tagging everything appropriately.
Yeah, and yeah. make sure you got to... decent way of finding you easily.
Yeah. Well, there's some people that I don't want to find it.
Yeah, it's a struggle. It yeah. really is. Podcasting is such a cool thing, and yeah. it's so accessible and easy to do, and yeah. that kind of makes it a pain in the ass for people because it's so easy and accessible yeah. that everyone has one.
Well, no, I didn't mean that specifically. There's like people in my family.
Oh, like, that you don't want to
I'm like,
to?
Yeah, maybe I'd rather not them listening because I feel it would psych me out if I knew my mother was listening to my podcast.
My mom, I think, listens to mine
yeah.
quite often.
Well, like, I tend to have, like, two comics on plus me, like, after an open mic or a show.
Does yours focus and, primarily on just comedians?
No, I'm not really focused primarily on comedians, but that's usually who I'm bringing on with
it's just
me.
What you have going on in your
yeah,
life.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
You know, there's enough of us around here. You know, if I'm not being at home, being a stay-at-home dad, I'm at an open mic or a show.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only things. I go to the grocery store, I take my kids to school, and I go on stage.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I do outside of my house.
Is your wife pretty cool with that?
My wife has been super amazing, supportive. So if she wasn't, we'd probably be in trouble right now because I'm out like 4 to 5 times a week.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When do you have the time to like be with her?
We find time.
Yeah.
It's, You know, we're definitely making sacrifices in that area for me to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. So, but because I'm such a late starter in this, you know, out the gate when, you know, her and I talked about me doing this, we knew it was going to be like sacrifice for that.
Right.
Because I, you know, me coming into this going, okay, I do want to get good enough at this that I can do this moderately professionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I kind of am right now. I'm getting, you know, I'm getting hosting gigs and shows and stuff. So, I mean, it's going pretty well. I'm doing pretty well for a 1-year-old comic.
Definitely.
I definitely feel that. I mean, I'm definitely not good. Don't get me wrong. I am not good at this. But yeah, it's going good. But, you know, there's sacrifices in that. But I kind of, if I'm going to get there, you know, kind of have to make some sacrifices quick because I'm starting late.
Yeah.
You know,
how old are you?
I'm 40.
Are you 40?
I'm 40 years old.
Holy shit. Yeah, you are starting
late. I love that compliment. When I tell people how old I am and they're like, holy fuck.
Well, you look.
That
you
never
look good
means
for 40.
I thought you were 60.
Yeah.
That
I thought you were like 35.
Yeah. Okay.
Was my
cool.
guess.
I'll lie. I'm 35. Edit that shit out. Let's do this.
So it was, you know, you're doing the podcasting, you're doing the comedy, mm-hmm. you're doing the kids thing,
yep.
which I would imagine takes a whole bunch of time.
Yeah, man. It takes...
And a relationship at that. You're together with your wife, too. So.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. Well,
you got a lot on your plate there, my man.
Yeah, it is a lot to balance. That's why I get 5 hours sleep a night and never have new jokes. Ba-bam.
No, you do.
Yeah,
you work pretty hard,
yeah,
man.
I'm starting to figure out a writing process that works for me. That's my year two goal. Year one goal was really just get comfy on stage.
Dip your toes. That's
really, yeah. My whole focus year one was really just get comfortable on stage, have a solid five.
Mm-hmm.
That was my goal.
And do you have that now? Do you have solid 5 minutes that you think would work anywhere?
Not me, because I'm never happy with anything I'm doing. Like, I have a pretty decent five. I don't really like it,
mm-hmm.
but it I can get away with it. It works.
Yeah,
it's not terrible.
And it'll go
over.
Did that take you the first full year to get that?
No, actually, my five came out pretty quick, pretty nicely last year.
Probably because you sat on it for such a long time that you were thinking about.
Yeah, there's definitely some advantages in being the older guy. But you know, when you're doing this, you kind of run the gamut with how you feel about what you're doing on stage. Like when I first got the five down, I was like, okay, this is good how it is. And then, no, I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate telling this joke. I don't like this joke. You want to get rid of it. So yeah, you run the gamut of feelings about all that.
I've noticed, I think, that the scene has blossomed over the past year. I don't know. I was involved pretty early when I was like 18.
Yeah.
But then I went to college and kind of dropped out.
Do you
out.
Think that's because you're more involved? Because that's kind of how I'm seeing it too. I feel the same. I feel like it is blossoming, but I also feel like maybe that's just my skewed perception of being so deeply involved.
Well, I remember starting the Sly Bar open mic, which was August, I think, of 2014.
Yeah.
So this has been going on like... I guess almost 2 years. Is
really?
That true?
I don't know.
I don't know. Now I'm trying to think.
Then you started before I did.
I think it was August 2014 because we did the Creative Loafing thing April 2015. So that was almost a year ago. So it must be a year and a half. I don't know any open mic that has lasted a year and a half.
Bula, maybe?
Yeah, I think Bula was maybe, around when I started. I don't know how...
Dunedin Brewery has been every week for a year. Just now.
And really? And before I thought they were around before I was.
They were doing it a little longer than that, but I think it was like monthly or something like that.
Yeah.
But now they're once a week.
I would love to move it weekly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is that your phone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the old ball and chain?
That is the old ball and chain.
Yeah, I would love to be able to do an open mic weekly. But I think I would like to try to maybe go somewhere, maybe a little north, maybe mm-hmm. Largo. I don't necessarily want to do... I feel an allegiance to Sly Bar, so I don't want to step on anybody's toes there mm-hmm. or anything. And I've even spoke to them about maybe moving it weekly. I haven't brought it up since.
Yeah.
But not only...
Well, maybe doing doing it bi-weekly in Sly Bar and doing it the opposite Tuesday in a different location.
That's what I was
would
thinking,
probably
yeah.
be a strong choice because you don't want to burn out your crowd either.
Right, exactly.
Because they will get burnt out. And that does put, definitely from me as an open micer perspective, it puts a lot of stress on me particularly. Like when I'm coming back to an open mic to have new stuff because you do... recognize people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And that gets in your head pretty hard as an open micer because, yeah. like, people don't understand I'm working on this joke. And working on this joke a lot of times involves me saying it 500 times.
Right, right, right.
And people, maybe 3 times, can hear a joke from a comic before they're like,
that's,
I'm done with
that. I've had a lot of complaints about that at Sly Bar, too, yeah. because a lot of the people would come do the same bits every year. And I'm like, that's kind of part of the deal.
Yeah, but people that are just watching do not understand what it takes for a comic to get better.
Yeah.
So they don't understand. And you can't fault them for it.
No, I get it.
You can't fault them for it. But at the same time, you can't fault the comic for it. Because I can come back with a new 5 minutes every week, but it's going to suck.
Yeah.
And then they're not going to like it.
Right.
So it's like it's sort of a double-edged sword.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking maybe if I can find somewhere in Largo, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the idea of Barley Mow up that way, that little brewery out there, because they have a cool little stage outside.
Yeah.
And I was talking to them, but something happened where we just stopped talking.
My geographical knowledge of the Bay Area is based on open mics.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, where do you live, up in Countryside?
Yeah, I live in Countryside now, but the wife and I moved around a whole bunch before we moved here. So we've been here 5 years now.
Wait, you moved from out of state?
Yeah, yeah. I moved from Indiana when we got engaged. I moved here. We lived in Brandon for 20 minutes, and then we moved to New York, and then we moved to Connecticut, and then we moved back here.
Why did you move so much?
Her job. Her job was moving us around, and I had a trade job at the time, so I could pretty much find work anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, so.
What was your trade?
I worked in this newspaper industry. Do you remember those things?
I do.
Yeah,
I recall those.
That's what
sure.
I did. I made newspapers.
You made newspapers? You were actually like a printer?
Yeah, I was a pressman, sort of.
Is it changed now with computers as far as how they print papers, or is it
yeah, dramatically.
Yeah.
Because the software just does it all. I mean, you can crank out a newspaper.
Did you hear that?
Plus, no one's actually writing that stuff anyway. It's all coming from the same sources. It's all AP.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I know that's a problem too. I have a lot of friends who are journalists.
Yeah.
Majors.
Have you ever seen that Conan clip of the people reading the thing about Christmas?
Oh, yeah. And it's the same.
Yeah, it's the exact same script.
Different people saying the exact same thing.
Yeah, with virtually the same inflections and performance. And it's just, it's terrifying. It's hysterical and terrifying.
That is pretty bad. Yeah.
Somewhere there's like one guy writing all of the local news.
Did you see that the Times won the bidding contract to print the Tampa Tribune?
No, no.
What does that mean exactly? Because I know that's a big deal.
To print it? I'm sure that's a big deal. Yeah.
So, that got to be one step away from just being like, we'll just absorb you.
Yeah. Well, newspaper printing is, since newspapers are gone, essentially, if they win that contract, whatever print shop that goes to is probably printing every newspaper in the Bay.
I think the Times prints their own.
Maybe.
I think they actually print it here in St. Pete.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's distributing. I don't know.
I think there's the St. Pete Times, no longer the St. Pete Times. I had a print shop in downtown Clearwater. I don't know if it's there anymore, but commercial printing is still around. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure they do everything in-house. But I was like, that's bizarre because that's our main competition, and now they won the contract to print. So I'm assuming it's going to be a hostile takeover at some point where the Tampa Tribune is not going to be around anymore, which I don't like. I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's a little scary.
There is something cool about having a legitimately local journalism thing happening in your city.
Yeah.
You don't want that to go away.
I think it's going to be more the creative loafings, the TBTs, these smaller dailies or semi-dailies
weeklies,
type of thing. Weeklies, right.
Yeah.
That are kind of going to keep the print industry alive.
Because
I haven't bought a newspaper, but I'll always pick up a creative loafing if I see one.
You know, iPads and smartphones are nice and blogs are great, but it's nice to be able to pick something up and flip through it. There's something that's nice organically about that.
Coffee shops, up a creative loafing.
The thing with digital media is you generally have to seek it. So you already have to know it,
right.
And you already have to like it, or they've got to figure out a way to trick you into liking it and being familiar with it, that you'll go back to it.
True. So you're exposed to more ideas that you may not be as open to.
Whereas like TBT and creative loafing, it's right there outside of every venue, every bar. So everyone sees it. Everyone knows it. Invariably, if you're bored for a second getting a cup of coffee, you're going to pick it up and look at it.
I know a lot of people are afraid of stuff like that, as in like the newspapers going away, but I also think it's kind of like Amazon, right?
Yeah.
So like they get blamed for putting a lot of these stores out of business, but not really. They're putting stores like not Walmart. Walmart's huge, but the small stores, the mom and pops, are still going to be in business, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If they're selling, they have to do something niche though. Yeah. Niche.
It's arguable. GIF, GIF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those stores, like St. Pete's a good example, where they have all these local stores that are doing, I don't know if they're doing well, but they're staying afloat for the most part. And then you just go to Amazon for everything else for your, you know, day to day. But you know what? Fuck those Kmarts and Targets and all those stores.
It's just change. It's just change.
Yeah, if you're not going to change, right. Yeah, if you're not going to change, then you'll die. Yeah.
Sorry, Uber drivers, but the driverless cars are coming. So save that money for college.
It's true.
They're coming.
All right, man. I'm going to let you get out of here. It's 5:30. Yeah, I know you got to hit the snappers. Thank you for listening. Check out hmbradio.com. Yeah. Jander. What's your stuff again?
At Jander Gray, Jander Gray Facebook, World Domination Through Compromise, blah, blah, blah.
We should do a swap cast one day.
A swap cast. How do we do that? I do your podcast, you do mine.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. Very good.
Bam.
Jander, thank you, man.
Thank you. Quit your day job. All right. Thanks, man. I should roll.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.